Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Talk some Sharks hockey, because Mac Lucena-Brini has taken his league by storm. And when the Sharks are hot and going good, man, the Bay Area is really a vibe. But the Sharks, obviously rebuilding, 14-27-6 in the standings. They do have Macklin Celebrini. They have a lot of good things going on with the Sharks, although they're in last place in the Pacific Division. A rebuilding year. They've been competitive. However, 3-7 in their last 10. So let's get to the voice. All-time radio voice of the San Jose Sharks. One of my all-time favorites, Dan Ruzanowski. He joins us here on the River Islands guest line. Hey, Dan, when's the last time you come on 95.7 The Game to talk some hockey, man? It's been a while, but it's good to hear your voice. And I know our listeners has been dying for some Sharks talk. So here we have it, Dan. Good morning to you.
Well, fantastic to be with you. And it has been a while. It's about time that we got on and chatted about some things that are pretty relevant these days in the world of hockey, like the emergence of some young stars with this team and the fact that the club has got light at the end of the tunnel. And there's a lot to be excited about in San Jose.
No, I agree with you, man. You guys have played some good hockey this season. Obviously, some ups and downs with a young roster here. But Dan, as you join us here on the River Islands guest line, let's start with Macklin Celebrini, the number one overall pick, who has taken his region by storm. People who have the star label on him already. Just discuss how much he's grown in his young career since opening night. First, when he first laced up the skates to where he is right now, Dan.
Well, it's really something that's a sight to behold, really. And this is why, because when he first got here, we were talking about him as definitely a franchise type player. We knew that he was a three zone hockey player. We knew that he was well prepared. You know, everybody knows about the fact that that he has had great athletes around him his entire life. And, you know, was the Hobie Baker winner as the best college hockey player. And he was only 17 for most of that year. So, you know, all of that was known. But what wasn't known was how committed he really is to the day-to-day work and how coachable he is. I think these are things that are starting to happen now as we get to the point in the season where we're probably going to see him hit the wall a little bit. When I say that, I mean his entire recent life, he hasn't played more than about 50, 55 games a year. You know, at Boston University, they play a 32-game regular season, and then they have playoffs, you know, similar to NCAA basketball and so forth. So you're not playing an 82-game schedule, and you're certainly not doing it against the best players in the world. So that, along with the travel in the Western Conference, tends to take its toll on young players their first time through it. And I think that he's handling it quite well, but this is the next big challenge that he's going to have. And I think that he's, you know, doing it with flying colors, handling those responsibilities, being coachable, starting to, instead of, you know, just letting him play for about 15, 20 games and seeing what, you know, what great skill he has and all that. Now the coaching staff is working with him on some of the little fine points of the game, on getting inside and making sure that, you know, that he's not trying to do everything himself, which is what he's been used to being able to do at the college level. So it's just wonderful to watch. And instead of being a franchise player, I really, really honestly think we've got a generational player here in San Jose. And that's something really special that you don't see more than once a decade. You know, people like Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby. He has some of those characteristics to be that type of player. Not to put any pressure on him, but because he can handle that. But I think he has some of those characteristics, and everybody's just really, really excited about where he is and where he's going.
Well, we're fired up, Shasky. You hear that? I mean, generational.
Well, and Dan, you don't throw that around lightly. I mean, you've been doing this a long time. The kid's 18. I can't get over it. We see this a lot. Like, Steph Curry's dad played in the league, right? And obviously, his mother was a great athlete as well. And you look at that family and that family tree, and it's like, wow, they're just so impressive. Macklin's brother also drafted. I believe they played together for a little bit. And his father being around the Golden State Warriors as long as he has. Do you think that that's had some sort of a positive impact on how he's been able to attack all of this at such a young age? I mean, again, he's 18. I can't grasp how, I mean, he's phenomenal for everything that I've seen. And he feels like he's older than he is when I hear him talk.
Well, this is the way that they're raising him now these days. It's not just Macklin. You know, it's Will Smith. It's all of the other young players that are coming into the NHL. Their training is just so much better. But what you're referring to, though, is that little extra step that Macklin has had in his development. And that is, when you have a guy like Draymond Green going to your junior games in Chicago just because he happened to be in town with, taking on the Bulls and coming out to news conferences wearing a Celebrini jersey, it's obvious that that things are a little bit different. And, the major thing that I see is when you're – it's a lot like being a son of a player that was a Hall of Fame-type player. If you're around that atmosphere all the time, it's not as intimidating to you. You're used to it. You understand what it takes. And you see a lot of the things behind the scenes. You see the extra work. You see guys getting up. And, in the case of hockey players, right around this time of the year, too, is when you have a practice and, you feel pretty sore getting out of bed because, your body takes its toll. So you have to watch what you eat. You have to learn how to prepare food for yourself. You have to, understand the benefits of sleep. And the other thing is that the Western Conference teams, and this is true for all sports that are 82 games or longer, don't have that practice time that the teams in the East do, simply because, these guys out here have their bags packed a little bit more often, but, a flight or a bus trip from New York to Philly, you're back in your same bed the night after the game is over, where, in our case, in this particular case, we're out on a 5-game trip, and it's, we have a whole bunch of these, and instead of one time zone for half of the teams, we have 4 time zones. So that's a big, big adjustment for a young guy to make, especially when you're going up against the full-grown men and the best players in the world. So I think that back to what you're talking about, the fact that he's been around these professional athletes, especially in the Western Conference, I think has been a nice preparation tool for him and giving him an idea of what it really takes. And that puts him ahead of the curve, in my opinion.
Dan Rusinowski here on the Morning Rush, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. And Dan, the Sleepy Giant in the Bay Area has always been the SAP Center. When that place is thriving and rocking, there's no place like the Shark Tank. Are you starting to see some of that excitement back at the tank this season, as we saw a few years back when the Sharks were rolling? I contend I was very fortunate to be in a building when you guys came back against the Vegas Knights in that Western Conference playoff series. And I've never been in a building like that in my life. Been to a lot of basketball games, football games, baseball games. There's nothing like what I experienced that night at the tank. Are you starting to feel some of that same buzz at the tank this year, Dan?
Oh, there's no doubt it's starting to happen again. And, we have to be realistic about this. This is not something that flips the switch and turns on overnight. And we're suddenly, in the middle of playing for a division title here in San Jose. It's going to take a little while. The Sharks have done a really good job in restocking their young cabinet of players. The San Jose Barracuda look like they're one of the better teams in the American Hockey League. And that's an important thing to keep track of. And, each young kid that gets recalled and plays for the Sharks is much better prepared because they're not only learning how to be professionals, and the difference, especially Bonte. There's one thing about learning how to be a professional player, but it's another thing to learn to be a professional winner. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to win, and to do that, the Sharks have made an investment in some vets that work at the American Hockey League level with the young kids that have so much talent, along with the coaching. And here's another thing. Macklin, Celebrini, and Will Smith, they've got this advantage. Macklin is living with Joe Thornton, who's one of the greatest players of all time. And Will Smith is living with Patrick Marleau, who's another one of the greatest players of all time.
Dan, how impactful is that for
these people? You see all of the habits.
Not to cut you off, but how impactful is that for these young men to have a Joe Thornton and a Patrick Marleau living with, and you're getting advice on a daily basis, as you mentioned, not only being a pro on the ice, but being a pro off the ice?
Well, exactly. Well, and of course, the added benefit, at least in both of their cases, is that Christina Marleau and Tobias Thornton are outstanding cooks, so they get the best food in the world. That's pretty huge. But realistically, here's when these guys have their greatest impact, Thornton and Marleau, I mean. It's when, you feel sore. You don't necessarily feel 100%. You're trying to get through the season. Or you're having some down times. Will Smith has had some down times. And that's when these guys talk to them. Spend a lot of time with them. Not that different than a parent would in all aspects of life. But I think if they keep them on an even keel, they keep them positive, and they make them realize that, you're not only playing as a profession. When you come out of college and you start playing as a pro, your relationship to the game that you play changes a little bit. You're playing for a living now. It's not just a fun game that you play. But both Thornton and Marlowe and all of the greatest players, and I know you guys can attest to it, whether it's the NBA or Major League Baseball or the NFL or the NHL, the greatest players of all are the ones that have all of those work habits, but also keep the fun in the game. And I think that that's something that gets you through the tough times when you're having some struggles, as every player does and as every team does during the course of a challenging schedule. And it gets you to push through and get back on the right track. And so I think that that's the greatest benefit that people like Thornton and Marlowe provide for young players like Celebrini and Will Smith.
Yeah, you guys got a great mix of the young players. And then you bring in a guy like Toffoli, and he's been really good for you guys this year. Him and Eklund and Celebrini is a great line right there. As you're watching it from your lens, how fun has it been to see all these young players like Eklund, Will Smith, Celebrini, all kind of gel and come together into their own? And then you mix in some of the veterans. Feels like nobody's got a brighter future than the Sharks in the league right now.
Well, I think it's really exciting. And you know, you have to make the right decisions with the vets that you do bring in, some of whom aren't going to be here for that long, but they have to be good examples. You know, Cody Ceci, defenseman, is a guy that was at Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final last year. He's providing a tremendous amount of respectability and guidance from that position on defense. Jan Ruda's got two Stanley Cups. And, you know, Mark-Edouard Vlasic, we haven't even talked about him. He just played his 1,300th National Hockey League game. There's only two defensemen in the history of the NHL that have spent their entire career with one team and played more than 1,300 games. That would be Mark-Edouard Vlasic as of last night, and Nicklas Lidström, one of the greatest defensemen ever to play the game. He played for Detroit for a whole passel of games. Ray Bourque played over 1,500 games too, but he left Boston and went to Colorado, so he kind of gets on that list. But these are guys that are very important to making sure that the culture is a winning culture, and that's something that the Sharks need to surround these kids with. And let's not forget, you know, Fabian Zetterlund, William Eklund, these guys are starting to come into their own as players, but they're still young.
Yeah.
They still have a long, long runway to develop, and they're going to have their ups and downs too. So it's really cool to see it. And you know, to reference what you're talking about, I have not been this excited about just seeing the kids grow than I have when Patrick Marleau was a rookie back in the late 1990s. And I've been around that long. So this is really special. I think that this is a great time to be a Sharks fan. And for those that maybe have gotten away from the club for a couple of years during some of these really down times, this is the time right now when you're going to grow with these people, and I just think it's really special.
And you got to have patience, right, because they're going to take their lumps early on here. But, Dan, we're starting to see the change of the guard in the NHL, right? I mean, watching Connor McDavid skate, it's like no other, right? But Ovechkin's getting up there as he's chasing Wayne Gretzky. Sidney Crosby's getting up there with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Are we starting to see that changing of the guard where, in the NBA as well, we're starting to see, well, LeBron, Steph, and KD, where the Anthony Edwards, the Shea Gilgeous Alexanders, it would be when Bayamas are starting to take over the league. Is that simultaneously happening in the NHL as well?
Sure, and it only makes sense. You know, you've got Connor Bedard in Chicago. He was the number one pick a year ago. He's another up-and-coming star player. There are guys all through the league that are starting to trickle their way in, even a young goaltender like Yaroslav Askarov, who's on the Sharks. He's a really up-and-coming star goaltender. They're coming in through the league. You know, you talk about the NBA. I mean, I go back when not only when Bird and Magic were fighting, but when Wilt Chamberlain and Willis Reed were battling it out for the NBA title. And, you know, you see it in generations. Every 10 to 15 years, the old guard or the seniors graduate and the freshmen that are so promising come in. And that injects energy, it injects enthusiasm, and, of course, it brings new fans into the sport. That's what's happening to the NHL right now.
Dan, I'm sure you consume sports content, like whether it's the radio or just stuff that's on your television and whatnot. I mean, I get frustrated because, like, I love golf, for example, and I know I can't talk about golf on air. No one cares about it. How frustrated do you get that we don't talk enough about you guys, and we should? Like, does that bug you?
Well, sure. I think the thing to remember is that, you know, we have four major sports in the Bay Area, all represented by great organizations. And you throw the Earthquakes in there for Major League Soccer too. But I really think that that the NHL is the most exciting game in person, and it deserves, you know, these athletes are doing something that, you know, you think about it, is not a natural thing. They're balancing their bodies on these steel blades. and they're going 25 miles an hour, and the puck is going close to 100 miles an hour in some cases toward the net. It's a physical game. It's got that element. It's got the element of survival. It's got just about everything. And here's the other thing that I love about it that deserves to be talked about, and that is it's an ultimate team game. The best players in the world are totally dependent on the weakest link in the roster, so to speak. Nothing is weak in the NHL, but you know what I mean.
Right.
The least talented player on your roster, the biggest role player. That's why when you get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, which is the greatest sports tournament in the world, it's four rounds of seven games with all that travel and all of that grueling play, and you're only as good sometimes as that third or fourth line guy that makes the big difference when the game's on the line, because the stars sometimes cancel each other out. And so that to me sets up the drama between, the rivalries between the clubs, because it gets very emotional, very intense. And of course it's very fast. So I think that hockey's got just about everything. And, that's something that ought to be talked about quite more often. And, sports fans in the Bay Area really need to, if they haven't been to a game, check it out. Because once you do that, I like to say, listen to our Sharks Audio Network broadcast. You get a sense of the excitement when you listen, but also when you come to the game, to me, that's what gets people hooked.
No, my daughter loves going to Sharks games. She does. She's asking me right now, when are we going back to go see Mr. Sharky? And you're not lying about experiencing a hockey game. I've been fortunate again to be in the building for a couple playoff games, and the environment, the energy, the hitting. That Vegas game, I didn't realize it at the time, because I'm not going to sit here in front. Chesky and I aren't the biggest hockey guys, but I didn't realize that was one of the biggest comebacks in an elimination game, and you guys call it a major penalty and score boom, 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 and that place erupted, Dan. Just that night alone, I was thinking to myself, I got to invest more time into hockey, especially playoff hockey that we always watch on television, whether it's four overtimes, five overtimes. It really is a grueling sport and a very exhilarating sport. The Hockey Hall of Fame, favorite places to visit.
One of mine too, obviously. And it's funny you mention all that, because I know some people, and they won't admit it today, who left in the third period of Game 7 when it was 3-0.
Wow.
And there's one thing that we experienced way, way back in 1994. That was the first year of SAP Center, and it was the first time the Sharks made the playoffs, and they beat Detroit in seven games. Before that playoff, our captain at the time, Bob Airey, was sitting at a coffee shop, and he took a napkin out and he wrote 16 things, pardon me, that it would take to win the Stanley Cup. And he had won two Stanley Cups with Mario Lemieux at Pittsburgh, so he knew what he was talking about. And the reason why he wrote 16 things down is because it takes 16 wins in the playoffs to win the Stanley Cup. And one of the things he wrote, I'll never forget it, number 14, he said, "You're never out of a game." And he specifically noted that there might be a major penalty and you might have a 5-minute power play where you can score unlimited goals in that span. And wouldn't you know it, that happened in Game 7 back in 2019. And I've never heard anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. And to me, it's the greatest single moment in the history of the San Jose Sharks until the ultimate moment when they win the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
And, we like to say things in a positive way. Every day you wake up in the morning, if you're a Sharks fan, is one day closer to the team winning its first Stanley Cup. That's just the way you have to look at it. With all these young kids coming in, with the job that Mike Greer is doing in getting that building process together, it doesn't necessarily show in the standings right now, but you can tell that this team is playing a much more upbeat and competitive style of hockey this year than last season. It's just night and day. And it's only going to get better, and eventually it's going to start showing up in the standings. And when it does, that's when the people who have come out and invested themselves in getting excited about these kids are really going to be proud of them as if they're their own kids. And it'll be a real family event when that great moment happens. And I just can't wait for it to happen.
Dan, you've converted Chasky. He's wanting to talk hockey every single day now. He's locked in on the Sharks, right, Chasky?
We do a Celebrini celebration every day.
60 seconds of Celebrini every single day on the show after a Sharks game.
Well, we love that. And, of course, you guys do a great job. It's a lot of fun with all the competition for people that are listening all the time. And it's just great to have people that are on board with that.
Yep. Absolutely. Dan, you're the best, man. Real quick, before we let you go, I know you're a broadcaster. You love all broadcasting, every other sport. But Bob Uecker, we lost a great one yesterday at the age of 90. Any memories about Bob Uecker? Did you get to meet Bob Uecker? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I've never met him, and I never will meet him now, but I've been entertained by the man for so many years. It's kind of funny because the first time that I actually had any time to listen to him was when he was on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And I said, geez, I'm going to have to start paying attention to this guy because he was so funny. If anybody wants to get an idea of what Bob Uecker was all about, and I guess I have to say the off-color version, because when the mic was off and when the cameras weren't rolling, he had a different way of delivering things, which is hilariously great. But his Hall of Fame speech is just beautiful. When he got into the Baseball Hall of Fame as a broadcaster, everything that he covered in that, the way that he talked about himself in such a self-deprecating way, made everybody laugh. He brought the joy of the game. That's what you have to do as an announcer. You want to bring, you don't necessarily want to draw attention to yourself. You want to draw attention to how great the game is that you're covering and how many great human interest stories there are. That's what we all try to do. And so I have got nothing but tremendous respect for what he's been able to accomplish in his career. And of course, you know, he put himself down as a ball player, but he was a major league ball player, was a World Series champion too. So, you know, it's a sad day, but also it's a day for us to celebrate what he did bring to all of us.
Well, we always love listening to the voice of the Sharks. You've been here since its franchise's existence, back at the Cal Palace A's. We were actually discussing that first playoff series win against the Detroit White Wings. I think that game was on Channel 36 back in the day. Artis Erbe in goal.
KICU.
But they won Game 7 at Joe Louis Arena. So, Dan, we always appreciate the time. It's good to hear your voice. And yes, it is an exciting time in Sharks hockey. Get on board now, Mick, because better things are ahead for this franchise and this team in the future. Dan, thanks so much for the time today.
Well, I really appreciate that. You guys do a great job. And to all Sharks fans that are listening out there, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you on the radio soon.
Absolutely. Dan Rizanowski, Sharks Radio Network, been a longtime play-by-play voice since day number one back in 1991 when this franchise was born.